This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, Adam Pearson, an ambassador for Face Equality International, an organisation that really make us talk about and consider the way that visual difference is represented on screen and also in life around us. Adam, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Ahead of the next Bond release, No Time to Die, this campaign, I Am Not Your Villain, has kicked off, really considering the way that visual difference is unfortunately used to represent the sort of quote-unquote bad guy on screen. What do you think the value is in a campaign such as this one?
I think anything that challenges what is now becoming a very outdated trope and opens up discussions about how we represent people on our screens and what effect that has outside in the real world can only be a good thing. No Time to Die is the third Bond bad guy in a row that has a disfigurement or visible difference. And it's just all of it lazy and unbalanced. Like, where are all the good guys? With scars and disfigurements and marks, particularly in a franchise such as James Bond, that's made great strides in its portrayal of women, for example, we still have this one thing that's still stuck and not moving forward.
And how do you think the experience of people living with some kind of disfigurement, as you put it, a scar, some kind of visual difference, how is their real-world experience affected by the way that their differences are represented on screen?
Well, there's the old adage that if you can't see it, you can't achieve it. So for people with disfigurements and conditions and marks, whatever vernacular you choose to use, who are maybe looking at getting into acting, it all feels very narrow and closed off. But also, for just people in general, it affects your self-esteem. Whenever you see yourself in the media and all you are is the villain or the victim, where do you go, right? And also it adds to the lexicon of the playground. And it's another name on what is becoming a very long list of people to shout out as a term of bullying or derision. And the school playground's Darwinian anyway, without even adding that into the equation. I mean, I've been called Quasimodo, Elephant Man, Two-Face. And the whole thing needs more balance. I'm not calling, or we are certainly not calling, for a blanket ban on bad guys with disfigurements. As an actor with a disfigurement, that would be economically naive of me. It's just, where are the good guys? Where are the love interests? And why are we still using it as this trope?
Right, and as you've mentioned, you are an actor in your own right. You're obviously an ambassador for an organisation like Face Inequality International, which does put your story, it does put who you are quite, you know, vulnerably out there. So why did you choose to stand up and be a face for this kind of organisation and to represent these sorts of conversations?
I've been working with Changing Faces and Face Equality International for years, so I'm a safe set of hands, and I'm also somewhat battle-tested. I'm speaking from a place of experience, so I think that adds a great deal of weight to what you say. But as you said, I'm an actor in my own right, and I have a platform and a voice now, and I think to not use it would be, in this way, would be incredibly negligent and a dereliction of moral duty. And I think there's a lot to be said for just doing the right thing and having the conversation. And that's what this is. It's a conversation. And I think very often things like this just turn into two sides yelling at each other on social media. You know, it's a filmmate, grow up. Ah, you're an ableist. Ah! Whereas we want to kind of meet in the middle and thrash this out, and I think you win more friends with honey than you do with vinegar.
And in hearing you obviously talk about your reasons behind this, you have such a resilience and you've obviously got a really positive attitude to the work that you're doing. What has given you that resilience and given you the sort of confidence to keep going when, as you mentioned earlier, you've been, you know, called some pretty horrible stuff and had some pretty horrible experiences?
I think I've been very fortunate to have a good network around me. I'd be a shell of the man I am if it wasn't to my mother, good old Mummy P, who always raised me and taught me that the people that matter don't mind and the people that mind don't matter. And just put your head down, move on, and as long as you can wake up, look at yourself in the mirror and be like, yeah, I'm a good bloke, I'm doing all right. Then happy days. And I make it sound easy when it isn't. And I've had those dark nights of the soul and those moments where I've had to kind of look at myself and give myself a bit of a pep talk and do the whole cool runnings. I see pride, I see power.
Mm.
I see a badass man who don't take no nonsense off nobody. But you get there. And I think it's a case of, as I say, head down, crack on with it. It isn't easy, but nothing worth doing ever happens easily.
Mm.
And that's how change works. It's small steps, it's meaningful conversations, and it comes from the heart rather than the legalese or policy.
Yeah, and this Changing Faces campaign has certainly brought a lot of attention. It's prompting conversations about this issue. What would you say to the person who maybe isn't so aware of the way that those with visible difference can be marginalised? What kind of change would you like to see this campaign have in real-world sort of situations?
I think, A, go and find someone who has that experience and talk to them and get to know them. I think we need to get this out of a problem-solution medical model that we often put it into in the real world. I also think empathy is a real dying commodity in 21st century Western society. And the thing I think it's really important to drive home is that this isn't mutually exclusive.
Mm.
And anyone could be involved in an accident, either driving or at work or on holiday, and acquire a disfigurement or a scar. And in that moment, your life is changed forever. And should it happen to you, how or someone you know and love, how would you want to be treated? Mm. How would you want them to be treated? And then do that.
Yep. That's very simple words, but very wise ones. Adam, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. As always, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.